One Man Revolution, Volume 5, Episode 20. We are back at it again. This is the One Man Revolution podcast. The revolutionary is on assignment out abroad, so he won't be joining us this week. Instead, it's me, the comrade, and I'm joined by...
the Canadian.
Right. And you know what I forgot last week that I'm not going to forget this week is the dates and times and such that we normally do. Because I, you know, I'm not used to doing all the...
doing all the math.
The progressive stuff. So it is 1,322 days until the next president. I don't know what that means in real time, but we can always hope, of course, that the midterms occur and that the election happens as it should. So we've got 1,300 days to hold out.
Well, today is June 6th, right?
Yes.
So that's 6 months in from when the electors were counted, because that was, everybody knows, January 6th. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's about... 3.5 years.
3.5 years. That's far too long. We can always hope that impeachments happen sooner than that. This week, the messiest breakup of Pride has already happened.
Yeah.
Canadian, what are you drinking over there?
I am still staying away from alcohol, so I'm drinking Athletic Run Wild IPA.
There you go. Nice, nice. Well, since there's two of us and one of us isn't drinking, it's fine because I'm double fisting.
yeah, there you go. Oh, you've got a drink and a Canadian small of something?
Yeah, yeah. I'm working on a small pour of a beautiful Japanese whiskey, small batch. I found it. I got it for a song at my local liquor store. And I thought I'd give it a try. It is the Hatozaki Small Batch Whiskey. Mm. And it's beautiful. And I've also got a small tropical beer hug to go with it.
Nice. Nice. It's going to be a warm night for you.
Yeah, it'll be good. I was worried until your text earlier today that I was going to be doing a solo show. So I was kind of mentally prepared for that, which is why I got the big beer.
I just been work had been busy, lots of sure. life stuff going on, and yeah. I just realized, oh, you know, I never checked in. So
no worries, it's all good. You're here, and that's what counts. Yep. Yeah. So as I said at the top of the show, this week, first off, happy Pride! It is Pride Month. We are excited to celebrate and share and be part of that movement. It's always a good time. Especially when the two brattiest bitches get into a very public breakup. the most inevitable, you know when you have two friends that aren't, they're not inherently compatible on like a deep level, but on the surface they got a little bit of chemistry. So you watch them go to dating and everybody in the group looks at each other and goes, nah, this ain't gonna last. That's just, yeah. It ain't going to work. We all knew that was going to be the case with Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And here we are. It's happened.
Yeah, it's I've been like deep in work. I wasn't paying any attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, stuff came up on my phone that Elon's talking about Epstein. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then I started looking into it. I'm like, what is going on here? It's wild. There's lots of timelines
so many things happen.
The tweets.
Yes.
But yeah, ultimately, I think it comes down to Elon. One of Elon's picks wasn't picked for the head of NASA, and he's a little pouty boy about it.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was what it was. I haven't quite heard what the cause of the separation is, but
I mean,
it's
the the public excuse is the big, beautiful bill is going to destroy the deficit, right? Like Elon gives a shit.
That's what started the argument online. That's how Elon, that was the opening salvos of Elon's tweets was the big bill was terrible, blah, blah, blah.
That's not what this is about. No. The big bill was terrible because Elon didn't get what he wanted in it and is a little bit pissy because his NASA chief guy was withdrawn.
Here's what it is. So Trump tweeted yesterday at 2:37. Elon was, quote, wearing thin. I asked him to leave and I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted. And he just went crazy. So that's probably not true, but there's probably an aspect to it. Like Trump wanted to remove the federal tax credits for buying electric vehicles, among other things, I'm sure.
That's been in the bill for a while.
Right.
Right. That was like from the beginning. One of the things they're going to get rid of back when Elon was doing this stuff. Yeah. So
it kind of goes back and forth. And then, they keep complaining about the bill. And at some point, Elon's making complaints about the bill and Trump is doing what he does, which is attacking people who criticize anything he does. So Trump is making it personal. Elon's making it about the bill. And you're kind of going back and forth. Trump claims that he showed Elon the bill well before it ever hit the floor of Congress. I doubt that because Trump doesn't read. So no. I seriously doubt he ever actually saw the text of the bill.
But on the other hand, Elon has people somebody saw the bill and was talking to people about put stuff in the bill. So he knew what was going on.
Almost certainly. So it's going back and forth. And then eventually, Musk retweeted, a tweet about Trump partying with Epstein, because Trump kept going after Elon. So after Elon, Elon went back at Trump and he started showing those same clips. Anyone who's been paying attention has already seen multiple times of Trump meeting with Epstein at his mansion, meeting Ghislaine Maxwell and, partying up and having a good old time. And from there, it kind of devolved. So Steve Bannon hopped in. And he's trying to trash talk Musk so that Trump takes him back because he's the lonely ex from last season. Good.
And he's doing it in a very fascist way by saying Elon should be arrested for criticizing Trump.
Right. Right.
Thrown in jail, kicked out of the country. Yeah. That's not how any of this works.
We throw them away. Yeah, exactly. The funniest thing is Steve Bannon saying we should deport Elon for overstaying his visa, which is hysterical. But
I hear there's an opening down in
El Salvador. We got extra space in there right now.
They got an extra space, yeah.
Yep. And then
we'll get to that.
Kanye had to say, don't do this. We love you both. And Matt Gaetz is agreeing with Ye, which is not nearly as scandalous as we'd like it to be. And then the right-wingers, because it's a cult and because they're all crazy, the right-wingers started saying, oh, this is all 5D chess. Elon Musk is faking this fight to make the Democrats want the Epstein list released so that when they release it, it'll be super condemning for all the Democrats, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But Elon has actively tweeted that Trump is in the Epstein files, like we all know he is.
Yeah.
and he goes on to say that's the reason why the Epstein files haven't been made public, which, of course, we know. And then Alex Jones responded, Trump needs to respond ASAP. I noticed he didn't take any questions at his public meeting today. And he goes on to tweet something about the bill full of pork from Mike Johnson. So the Republican Party is actively falling apart at the seams as we speak. And it's absolutely incredible to watch. It's
when AJ is being the reasonable guy in the room, he's the level-headed one.
I saw this tweet later. I don't have it in front of me, but Alex Jones said something to the effect of, I've spoken with Trump enough to know that for a fact that he's not in those files. And if we if there's anything we know about Alex Jones and Jim Cramer, it's whatever they say, the opposite is true.
The opposite is true, yeah.
Because if we all recall, about 6 months ago, Jim Cramer tweeted, Elon and Trump will be inseparable. So the man is 1,000 on
yeah.
everything. No,
and again, all Republicans, what they accuse is projection. They're accusing all the Democrats of being in the Epstein files. Just wait. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, man.
That's the thing.
Projection.
Right. I mean, they don't understand about the left writ large, Democrats and non-affiliated, is if Kamala Harris is on that list, arrest her.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Get rid of her. Yeah, don't want absolutely. Her. Don't need her around. Get yeah. gone. So yeah. we don't worship the feet that these people stand on, the ground these people stand on. We don't worship them as people. We expect them to do what we hire them to do.
Yeah, and to have a modicum of integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is part of the job.
Yeah,
do your damn job.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's been really really quite something to watch happening, and still happening right now as we speak. So yeah. tomorrow yeah. this will all be even worse, I'm sure.
I saw that Elon was trying to make up. I didn't see any tweets.
Oh, really?
There was Elon's like throwing the white flag, and the headline from The Guardian was Trump's not having it.
No, of course not. No, you burn the bridge with him, you're done.
No, giving up anymore.
Yeah. That said, Tesla is down 15% on the week.
Yeah.
Yep. All starting yesterday for some weird reason.
Yeah. What about SpaceX?
Oh, I don't know about SpaceX. I don't think SpaceX is publicly traded. Are they?
I don't know. I will say it's a lot easier for the government to take over a private company than it is a public one.
SpaceX is not publicly traded.
Yeah, there you go.
But so. they are valued at $350 billion with an estimated $3 billion in profit from 2023.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, no, it's been really funny. I mean, Trump is talking about doing what we've all been screaming since Doge became a thing, which is if you really want to save billions of dollars in the government, cut all of Elon's contracts.
Yeah.
And there's Musk's, yep. There's Trump saying that yesterday. Like, great, do it. Yeah. Do it.
Let's not pay SpaceX to blow up rockets.
Right. Yeah, let's stop the pollution. Let's stop the abuse of resources. And let's make him do it right. And Musk threatened to dismantle something or other in response to that, which is like
his stupid big capsule thing. And it's like, sure. Who cares? Nobody wants to fly in that thing anyway.
No. Yeah. And I think the funniest thing is as of last night / this morning, Russia has officially offered Elon Musk political asylum. Yeah.
That's because Putin wants Elon's billions.
Putin wants Starlink and SpaceX. That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, yeah, it's that's just been the funniest thing to watch happen actively this week. It's been an absolute mess.
Yeah, the best title I heard about it was World War Douche. I won't make that one a title because it's somebody else's, but it's very, very good.
No, that's a great line. I mean, there's been so many good jokes about this whole thing all week.
Yeah, and the thing is people don't like either of them. Mm. I mean, they all have their fanboys, right? Mm-hmm. And the fanboys are jumping in one side or the other, but the general public just doesn't like either one of them.
No, they're not like.
And the amount of sort of tiddling joy that people have expressed over this fight is pretty remarkable.
Well, I think you know, our social media experience is being very left wing echo chamber.
Yeah,
I think we're missing quite a bit of what's happening on the right in terms of social media.
I'm not talking about people who are in the fanboy camp, but even people who are not Democrats or independents are expressing concern over this spat and, like, you know, what a bunch of children and that kind of thing. Not people like Steve Bannon, but just Iowa diner goers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Your average person who isn't chronically online Right. Yeah, they're just enjoying the disaster.
Right. Because they don't like them, or don't like at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, again, they are unlikable people. And mm-hmm. and the worst thing Elon Musk ever did with his billions and billions and billions of dollars was go out in public. If he had just stayed inside his house and never spoken, people would still like him. They'd still treat him like Tony Stark because they wouldn't know any better.
They wouldn't. Yeah. But now they know he's just insane. And
he's a ketamine addicted lunatic with too much money. That's all he is. Yeah.
I think just a theory that. Mm. That ketamine addicted lunatic it comes with too much money. I mean, too much money
begets that lifestyle.
Begets that lifestyle.
That's a fact.
I mean, I am completely aware that if I ran into $200 billion mm-hmm. or $2 billion, mm. I would be a wreck. I'd probably be dead in 2 years.
But it'd be a damn good 2 years.
It would be a damn
good. I don't know, like I feel like I would just end up spending money on my friends because I wouldn't know what to do with it. You know, I'd buy everyone houses and cars and bullshit. Like,
eventually, you know, you've got $2 billion. Yeah. Say you've got 30 friends, they all get $1 million houses. Okay, you didn't make a dent yet.
No, not even.
That's how much $2 billion is. It's you can't spend it. No, and in the meantime, it's made, you know, $600 million that you have to now spend.
Bezos's ex-wife is a great story of that because she got like 40 billion of their divorce, gave away
60 billion.
She got 60, gave away 40 billion dollars, and today has more money than when she started.
Yeah, that's insane.
The
first year she gave away $8 billion.
Right.
So she had 52, but she made 12. Right. And so she's been giving away $12 billion a year, but the nest egg makes so much because
it's so big.
It just prints its own money. So you end up richer. You can't help but do it when you have that much money.
Yep. No, exactly. The only way to lose all that money is to open your mouth in public in a bad way and leverage your image, which is your wealth. Against your actual wealth. That's the only way to lose the money.
Put it all on black. Mm-hmm. And the casino is another way to do it. Or green.
I mean, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think a casino would even be willing to tolerate that level of play. You know, here's a $100 million bet. They're not going to touch that.
Yeah. And you say, well, they'll take $100,000, but at $100,000, that's a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably an hour per million. And
easy. Yeah.
And, you know, that's
provided you don't make any money. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple thousand hours of sitting at the roulette wheel and betting on green.
Woof.
It's like, okay, that's not happening.
Yeah. No, that would be bad. I'd go to casinos and give everyone I saw $100. Hey, just have a good time. Everyone have fun.
Everyone would have a good time.
Yeah, who is that guy? Don't worry about it. He just bought the whole hotel drinks.
Yeah. and in the time it took everyone to drink those drinks, he made the money back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just back. It's free. It's goofy. Those numbers aren't real numbers. Money isn't real when you're rich enough. It's absolutely nuts. Yeah. But speaking of Trump character assassinations. There's a report that came out late last week, early this week, that apparently Donald Trump has, I'm reading from the AP here, directed his administration to investigate Joe Biden's actions as president, alleging that aides masked his predecessor's cognitive decline and casting doubts on the legitimacy of his use of the auto pen to sign pardons and other documents.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't there a ruling last year by the Supreme Court
about the auto pen
that said that the president acting in his official duties cannot do anything wrong, cannot be criminally indicted?
It's not criminal.
Has immunity?
Correct. But I think the idea here would be, and this is another like slippery slope into fascism thing. If Trump can somehow find legal standing to make an argument that whatever Joe Biden did was not within legal standing, which is to say, is that the 25th Amendment? Article 25?
25th Amendment is that the vice president and the rest of the people can remove the president if they think he is not well.
Right. Yeah. So that's a sitting president. I don't really know. Like the only thing I can think is this would be his way to like undo budgets and laws that Biden signed post fact. But I don't think that there's any legal standing for that at all.
There's no legal standing for that.
Yeah.
And there's no legal standing for saying that president wasn't competent.
Right.
And he needs to watch out because when he's gone, that'll be turned on him.
Yep.
But the immunity thing basically says, yeah, you can't investigate the president.
You can't. Yeah, the president can't be charged with federal crimes for actions while in office.
Well, but if you're going to try to get information about him doing those crimes, right. Now you have violated his. You can't. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? If you are being charged with a crime and because you worked in the president's office and part of the evidence of that crime is you talking to the president,
mm-hmm.
You can't use that information.
Right.
So you can do an investigation, but you're not going to find. I mean, they'll get lawyers and tell them to stop because mm-hmm. there's no. Mm-hmm. I don't have to answer anything with you.
Yep.
It's just a bunch of smoke to throw Biden's name out there because people are all upset about Biden. Well, Biden's age. Look at that old man.
Well, you know, Tapper.
Right?
Put
it's
out
projection.
Tapper put out his stupid ass book, and then everybody jumped on that. I think part of that is Trump. Trying to fix the narrative because of the breakup.
Yeah.
But
it kind of happened right as the breakup started. I don't know if it's part of that, but it's also just to deflect to Biden, right?
Yeah.
People are calling Trump old and they haven't seen him in a few days. He's not as dynamic as he was. He's not holding mm-hmm. his rallies.
Yep.
And so look how old Biden is.
Yeah. Not speaking to the press. No, it's, you know, it's incredibly frustrating to have these disingenuous things being put forth by the president. Hell, Trump tweeted, I don't know if it was last week or early this week, that Biden was replaced by a robot in 2018 or some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Or 2020,
yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. Like some wild conspiracy theory on his bullshit social media page, and he just retweeted it. But, like,
yeah,
you can't do that.
he's Roe Biden.
Yeah, he's
Dark,
yeah.
Dark Joe, Brandon. Joe, he's Roe Biden.
He's Joe
Bro Brandon.
Joe Roe Biden.
Joe Roe Biden.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's all a disaster, and it's just incredibly stupid. And I think part of it is the House, you know, barely passed the budget bill.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say barely, I mean literally by one vote.
One vote.
And I think part of it is they're trying to drum up support for the bill in the Senate.
Yeah.
And I think they're also trying to, like, control the conversation around what modifications to the bill the Senate will make before they vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a feeling that what's going to end up happening is the Senate's going to course correct as much as they can with the Republicans in control. And they're going to send it back to the House and it's going to fail.
Yeah.
So we're not going to have a budget.
Soon. Yeah.
When is that? Was it September?
September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone get ready for a government shutdown in roughly September.
Yeah. Yeah. That hopefully will be the most of our worries.
Yeah. If that's all we have to worry about in September, that'd be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess regardless.
It's not in the show notes, but, there was a Supreme Court decision that, basically, the Supreme Court has had a series of decisions sort of on the emergency docket. They call it the shadow docket, where they say, yeah, no, we're going to overturn that stay. We think that they'll lose, so we'll overturn it, let it happen. And these are things that are allowing the harm to continue,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? So, like, removing the temporary protected status from 300,000 people because, well, you know, we don't know. They might lose. Right. So,
but we're not going to interrupt it while we look into it. Yeah.
If they take the action and deport the 300,000 people, you can't. Oh, and you say, oops, yeah, they were wrong. They couldn't do that. It's too late. You've effectively enabled it.
Yep.
And they did that. with a case that's related to a thing called Humphrey's Executor. Hmm. And goes back to having independent bipartisan boards.
Okay.
And the president's trying to fire members of those boards that he doesn't.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
The opposite party.
Like the peace committee or whatever they were.
Yeah. Well, this one is the FTC.
Okay. Okay.
And they fired the two Democrats on the FTC.
Yep.
And it went up to the Supreme Court. And they said, yeah, you can keep doing that because mm-hmm. we don't like Humphrey's Executor. But they made a special case, an extremely special case that said, well, the Fed is different because it's been around longer. So we're just going to grandfather that Fed in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like their rationale was just dumb. And yep. the rationale is, I know that if we say you can fire the Fed, he's going to fire the Fed chairman yep. and put Don Jr. in there, who's going to mm-hmm. like screw the economy and we're all going to go broke.
Horribly.
So it was self-preservation.
Yeah.
However, you can still fire the Fed guy for cause.
Okay.
And the question now becomes, what does cause mean? Right. Oh, unemployment's going up and things. The Fed is doing a bad job. So yep. I'm going to fire him for cause for this made up thing. And then what? Right. So it really the Supreme Court weakening that Humphrey's Executor.
Yeah.
Really made it problematic mm-hmm. in that it sort of opened the door for abuse.
Yep. Well, that's what this court does. They open the doors for Trump to abuse the system.
Yeah.
That's
the last one the court did today, which opens the doors for abuse, is there was a stay on DOGE
mm-hmm.
getting raw Social Security data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they said, nah, we'll let DOGE have it while we go through the process, right? Which is dumb, because once you have it, you have it. You can't, like,
it's unhave data, it. Right. You can't.
Yeah.
The first thing they're going to do is copy it to 19 places on the globe. It's not. It does not
stay
in the US.
They're
going to
ingest it into AI. Oh, yeah, here's the raw data. You can have it back. We've already done our shit with it.
Elon Musk probably has a personal AI server system somewhere in South Africa that is well outside of U.S. jurisdiction. And yep. all of that data, every bit of that data is going straight there.
Yep. Or Peter Thiel into Palantir.
Oh, no, I mean, that's already going to happen legally anyways, because Trump is trying to make them the executor of the government.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that's kind of behind the scenes, but it's opening this door.
Yeah.
And these bad decisions coming down are opening the door for the surveillance state, for you to be your identity to be stolen,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of stuff like that is I don't want to say it's in the works, but the people doing this work are not careful.
No.
Right.
Of course not.
And so carelessness, you know, leads to accidents, and accidents leads to everybody's Social Security data being published on the internet.
I mean, that said, there's been enough credit company data leaks that everyone's Social Security information is probably already on the internet.
No, not like this.
Yeah.
This is every job you ever worked, every paycheck you've ever had, every.
Oh, that every, kind of data.
Yeah. Yeah. Where mm-hmm. you've lived, how much you make, how much you're going to make. Right. That's the kind of data that you don't want out there.
Nope. I will say the only publicly listed address for my name is associated with the place I lived like a decade ago. So I'm okay with that. But
yeah.
No, these are the things that are actually the problem. These are the things that really need to be monitored and held to account. Basically, every action taken by SCOTUS since Trump's first term has been tantamount to treason, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They are actively working to destroy the system that makes America function.
They have this idea that came up about the unitary executive,
yep.
which is that everything that is under the president's control is in his control and he mm-hmm. can do whatever he wants.
It's the president is a king.
The problem with that is there are laws, and he is supposed to abide and obey. I mean, literally, in his thing, he needs to faithfully execute the laws of the United States.
His oath of office dictates that the unitary executive theory is null and void.
Is not there. Yeah. He's got to do what Congress told him he can do.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And if that law says you can't fire these guys, that's the law. You just broke it. So the Supreme Court is actually giving the president power over Congress to ignore its laws, which is nuts. They don't know their job, basically.
Basic civics. They are openly violating the design of our three branch system.
And, right? And if you a bunch of originalists, which is just a bullshit word for I'm going to look and see something I like in history, and then I'm going to use that.
Originalists treat the Constitution like modern Christians treat the Bible.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. There's a phrase that says, hate. And so I'm going to hate. Well, thou shall not was in front, but they left that part out because it didn't want it.
Well, it's open to interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah. What does thou actually mean?
that depends on what thou is.
Yeah, exactly. That's a Jordan Peterson answer.
No, I was thinking of Clinton, but yeah.
Clinton. Yeah. Yeah. Depends on what is.
What is. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I miss the days when a president could get impeached for a blowjob.
Yeah, man.
Let's bring those days back.
That would be good. There's probably not enough money in the world for this president to get impeached by a blowjob.
No. I could shoot a man on Fifth Street and not lose a single vote.
Mm-hmm.
That was in his campaign for his first presidency.
Yeah.
And that didn't cost him. Howard Dean lost the White House over an excited yell, and our sitting president with 34 felonies said he would. He has openly called for violence against people in his rallies repeatedly, and his followers just say yay and vote for him again.
Yep. Yeah. So, but yeah, in the history of the country, there was lots of rulings that said nah. Presidents don't have absolute power. We just got rid of a king. We're not creating another one.
Right. Right.
So this whole the whole court of originalists that don't understand what the original intent was is bullshit.
Yep.
They just say your makeup is. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it up as you go so that it's stuff you like.
Yeah. Don't call yourself conservative. Call yourself activist because you are. You're actively reinterpreting and actively reapplying the law in ways it was never meant to be used. And from there, be honest about what you want to do. And what you want to do is bring about not an ethno state. I guess it is. It's a white ethno state. But you want to bring about basically Christian nationalism. You just want to destroy democracy, establish what a right wing dictatorship supported by the courts because they believe somehow that they'll get the better end of the deal.
They somehow think it won't go to them. I mean, they're supremely activists.
Yep. Yep.
And they just think they're going to get away with it. And maybe they are because they're all old. And by the time the horsemen come for the hem, they'll be dead.
They'll be dead.
It'll be somebody else's problem.
Probably. I mean, all that said, the biggest lesson history teaches us about fascists is the first people they kill when they take power are the people who helped them get there.
Right.
So
everyone
who's enabling Trump doesn't understand anything about modern history, much less 20th century history, much less general history of politics.
Yep. The people who help him get there are the ones that they fear because they fear they know where the bodies are buried and they fear they might turn on him for more power or they might try to take their power away.
Yep.
So all those people got to go.
That's right. Now, all of that said, I think establishing a fascist state in a nation whose economy is globalized, I believe is significantly more difficult than it ever would have been in the 20th century when your economy was basically you and whoever you touched. Yeah. Right. And that was it. But we
haven't had that. We haven't had a very large global democracy go fascist.
Right.
We've had smaller democracies, regional, you know, Hungary being a good one. Poland went that way and then came back. It might be going back the way. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Italy's toyed with it.
Yeah.
But not, you know.
No, that, and that's not what I mean. And not the UK, not France, not Germany, Russia, whatever, China, whatever.
But Russia never really was.
Right.
China wasn't. It was they had a Chiang Kai-shek who was king, but he wasn't king. He was somebody else. Some sort of fake democracy that was and oppressing people, and everybody was poor. They had a revolution. They started communism. So they never went full powerful democracy, and then like, yeah, we don't like this anymore.
Yeah. They didn't. The people weren't given the power to then cede the power back. They just never gave the people the power. So So I think America is going through. You know, we're having our Roman Empire death throes, right? Like this is a moment where either America, as the world knows it, will cease to exist, or we hard correct and we do what Germany has done, where we outlaw certain political parties because they're too dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's a valid. I genuinely think that's a valid approach. If through an evidence-based process that goes through multiple layers of oversight, if you can come to a conclusion that, like, the AfD is an illegal Nazi party, great. Get rid of them. If we come to the conclusion that MAGA is a terrorist organization because they attempted to overthrow the United States government, and we ban it, and for that matter, God, rebel flags, the rebel flags.
Yeah, the battle flag of Virginia.
Thank you. Yes. If we go ahead and ban those while we're at it, because frankly, that's not free speech. That's terrorism. It's violence is what you're calling for. It's not your heritage. Shut up, Jim Bob.
You are calling for the overthrow of the American government.
Yep.
When you fly your rebel yell flag. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's what that means. That means you don't like American. You don't like America.
Yeah.
You want it to be. You want to go back to the slavery days.
Yep. No, it's a pretty straightforward thing, and I understand that an American Supreme Court would never go for that because it's too close to violating the First Amendment in their mind. But.
Well,
we have to take a hard stance against this kind of activity, because if we don't, it'll just keep happening.
There is. I mean, it depends on what you mean by free speech, right? Free speech is not I can say whatever I want.
Right.
Free speech is so that you can take your redress to the government without fear of retribution
from the government. Yeah.
From the government.
Right.
So you're flying your rebel flag intimidates your neighbors. That's not free speech. That's abuse. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not free speech when you do that, because you are not addressing your complaint to the government. You are telling your neighbors you are willing to do violence to get your way.
Yep. Yep. You're openly telling people that you don't see them as people.
Right.
And that, like I said, like you said, that is a form of violence, and that can't be tolerated.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I want to be hopeful for the opportunity to fix this, for a course correction to happen. I don't know how likely that is in our lifetimes.
I meant to do some reading. I didn't think we would talk about this, but I don't know if you know sort of the course history of France, right? France had a political history. Yeah, King Louis XIV, who created Versailles as a way. I mean, it was behind the bastards. The whole thing.
I listened
thing.
To that one. It's
way,
very good.
A way to keep all the nobles in control, and he lived forever, and then he died, and nobody knew what to do, but there was a 15th who was there for a while, and he died because he was old, because his dad lived forever. Mm-hmm. And then there was a 16th,
it was
and
a baby. That's
Marie Antoinette, got married young, and Brie Antoinette, and he was actually trying to do reforms, but some people got pissed off because after Louis the 14th died, like, promiscuity became a thing. Everybody was cheating on everybody else's wives, and there were big scandals, and France is very Catholic, and that's not okay. And so it was, the nobility is corrupt and terrible, and they had this revolution. A bunch of people died. And, including people who had nothing to do with anything, which is what happens in revolutions, which is why you don't want one.
Right.
And then this little short dude with the itchy suit, Napoleon, came out and took over and ran France as a dictator.
Right.
Right. And then
But the people liked him because he was successful militaristically. Yeah,
but then he got kicked out and arrested and sent to an island in the Mediterranean. Right. And then there was a few years of turmoil, and then he came back and was dictator again till he, went to Waterloo and, stepped in front of a cannon and got Bonaparte. That's the punchline to a high school joke. And after that, France had turmoil, and this is the part I don't research, but they went from that strongman into, they already had this fake democracy anyway, but they went from a strongman into a more formal democracy.
Right. Right?
So it is possible that we get this strongman period. Things suck.
Yeah.
The charismatic guy dies. There's nobody going to take over. No. I mean, you've seen people try, and it's just like, no, sorry. Joni Ernst, no. You're not doing Trump. You just look like a crazy, crazy person. So it may happen that if Trump were to pass on, that the whole MAGA thing just kind of disappears because there's fragments and there's nobody there, and all of a sudden Republicans are like, oh yeah, no, I'm normal now. Right? So yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's so, like, I think the difference is that with France, it was utterly devastated, mm-hmm. and then a strong man came in and stabilized, right? He stabilized a country literally in the middle of revolution, and I think that's the difference. The difference is he was a stabilizing factor, which sometimes you need a strong man to just get the ship back in order, and then the people can take over from there. And I think that's what we saw with France, which is they were lucky to get it in that order. The problem is here is the people are just abdicating their own power.
Yeah, but they're doing it because they're pissed off,
right?
And they don't think the system works for them, which is really not that much different. I mean, they're not starving yet, but that may come, right? And
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like everything was fine, and Trump is actively creating the destabilization that Napoleon used as his way to get power, right? So it's backwards. We're doing it backwards.
Yeah, but everything wasn't fine. That's the whole point. The rural America had this grievance that they were left behind. The jobs weren't there. Yeah, they couldn't sell their land.
Sure.
People are just, the farmers are getting shit on. And they had all this grievance that Trump tied into. But instead of using it to say, hey, we need to fix this, he's like, I can use this to get elected. And that's what he did. So the falling apart was sort of there. The mm-hmm. rot was already there. Rot is a bad term, but the anger, the disillusionment and what America could do,
the dislike
for our government was there.
Disenfranchisement, the world's worst word.
and he just used that to get people to buy into, oh yeah, he's going to fix it, we'll all be great.
That's the populism is the Mussolini path to fascism. Like, we know this, right? It's an established thing. Hitler did it too. Where you go into a system that is not doing well, and you encourage it to do as poorly as possible to take power, and that's what I mean, right? Like, we're watching the system actively fall apart. It's been falling apart because of late stage capitalism, but the politics was kind of holding it together as well as it could. But now our political structure is actively trying to destroy a system that has been trying to kill itself anyways. So what this means is the top 10% of earners will be fine and everyone else will starve.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like the 1930s, early 1930s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 Pre-depression, which, hey, that's what tariffs lead to, right? Is depressions. Yeah. So hooray.
I was watching a video that ended up talking about depression. It wasn't about the depression in particular. It was about something else. But they talked about how the rich people in New York would throw poor parties, and they would dress like vagabonds
and go to a party,
and pretend to be poor at their swanky mansions.
Right. Okay.
And it was like sort of the most disgusting thing you've ever heard of, because they have the money and could actually help people get food instead of pretending like, oh, look, I'm poor. Whoa, that sucks.
Everyone knows you're not poor because you laugh like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They got that rich laugh.
You got the rich laugh, yeah. And hopefully a monocle, like Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she think Rich Laugh is a good comedian's name.
That, yeah, yeah, but he has to do the poorest laugh you've ever heard. It's
yeah. That's a book I'm going to write.
Yeah,
it's called Rich Laugh, Poor Laugh.
Oh wow. But Rich Laugh, colon, Poor Laugh, right?
It's like the rich dad, poor dad thing.
Yeah. So let's we're kind of at break. So we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. So I'll leave everybody with this. Kilmer Abrego Garcia has been returned to the United States, which is incredible. It's not the other hundreds of people who should also be given the same treatment, but it's an amazing first step that, based on how the administration has been speaking about the matter, this is a loss for them that he's been returned. So that's amazing. They are going to be filing criminal charges against him because they're assholes, the administration. We'll see how that plays out, and I think that's a good place to start our second half. What do you think?
I think that's great.
All right, we'll
do that. Lots of immigration stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's so many things. So we'll be back right after this.
You are listening to One Man Revolution with your host, The Revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
And the Canadian.
Yeah, so The Revolutionary, as we said at the top of the show, is out on assignment. He keeps threatening to pop in, and he hasn't yet, so it's like the boogeyman. We're not really sure if he'll actually be here or not. But that's okay. We'll continue to soldier on. So for the second half, what are you drinking over there, Canadian?
I am having another Athletic.
Beautiful. Weirdly, I still have a lot of this left. But we got to do the can crack, so here we go. I got for context, Stella.
Yeah.
The Stella's a baby beer. I prefer to drink full size beers as often as possible, but here in America, we prefer baby beers.
A snit anywhere else in the world.
Right. So, we mentioned before the break, a lot of legal activity around, immigration. The biggest one being Kilmer Abrego Garcia is back.
Hey,
which is huge. That is 100% a well done. Pam Bondi, of course, isn't well done. She can go rot in a hole, but she made the statement that we're bringing him back, and he will be under criminal counts in Tennessee, apparently, which is not
good. We might have somebody joining.
Oh, fantastic. Who's joined?
Oh, we might.
Oh, my God, there he is. Speak of the devil, and he shall appear.
Yep.
Sorry, my Discord's being a little bitch. Give me a second.
Yeah, all right. No worries.
So there's a lot of immigration news. You know, they brought our Abrego Garcia back.
Yes.
Which they didn't really, you know, they fought tooth and nail not to. But also there was another dude who had been deported to Guatemala, and he couldn't go back to Guatemala because of gangs and violence and whatnot. And they deported him there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also brought back. So,
That's good.
The court had ordered him to bring him back, and eventually they like, I guess we got to bring him back. So that happened as well in terms of trying to get due process for everybody. And due process was decided that it had to happen for all of the people who've been deported to El Salvador.
Oh, you mean like the Constitution says?
Yeah, like the Constitution. Yeah, judges said, Supreme Court said, it went back to another judge. You said, yeah, you got to do it. Got to give him due process. Figure it out. But the most maybe tragic one of these, and then we can go back to Abrego Garcia and his nonsense, is there were six men, one of which was South Sudanese, the other was like Vietnamese and Burundi or whatever it's called now, Myanmar.
Okay.
And they didn't speak English, and they pretty much don't speak each other's language.
Right.
They were on a plane being deported to South Sudan. And a judge stopped it, said, you can't do that. They need due process. The South Sudan's not a safe place. You didn't tell them they were going there. They didn't have a chance to object. So you can't take them to South Sudan. But the plane was already in Djibouti.
Right, right.
And so that's where they are. They're at a military base in Djibouti living in a shipping container.
Oh, God.
And it's not just the six dudes. It's the 13 ICE people. Also living in this shipping container, and they're all like giving each other diseases and stuff, and the living conditions are terrible because they don't have free rein on the base, so they've got to stay.
So first off, and
I'm the revolutionary.
There we go.
Yeah,
hey, welcome to the show. So we've got a tweet from the Department of Homeland Security, quote, it's outrageous that this judge is putting the health and safety of law enforcement officers at risk for the sake of criminals.
Yeah.
So that's what we're getting from the federal government's Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
The thing with Pam Bondi is that she said about the Garcia case.
Yeah.
That you know, we're bringing him here to face justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that gets me about that is, no, you were told by the Supreme Court to bring him back, and you're bringing him back, and now you're trumping up a bunch of charges. You're
trying to save face.
To bring him to, you know, to, when he's back.
Yep.
To, you know, to force, you know, to show the world that he's a sex trafficker or a human trafficker or something.
So the charges are conspiracy to illegally transport illegal aliens for financial gain and unlawful transportation of illegal. So conspiracy and the act of unlawful transportation of illegal aliens for financial gain. So they're claiming he's a human trafficker, like you said. Yeah.
And basically, he was found in a car with people who they think are human traffickers.
Right.
And they acted suspicious. And
guilty by association, like, in the finest American tradition.
Yeah. So it's unlikely that he'll be convicted because it's just there's some flimsy circumstantial evidence, and it's not like the government hasn't been out to get him. So that's going to play into the whole trial if it ever goes to trial. They'll drop these charges before too long.
My guess is the amount of media attention he's gotten, the ACLU will be all over this with everything they've got. Mm-hmm. And this case will fall apart well before it reaches trial because the judge is going to laugh him out of the room. And from there, hopefully, this means we'll have a better standing to bring back everyone else who was obtained without due process. I should say kidnapped without due process by our own.
Well, El Salvador, it's some ridiculous number, like 138 that have a right to some form of trial now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely huge. Yeah,
it's huge.
It's what I think has made this administration so frustrating is bullshit happens, reactions occur, and then the sane people sit back and go, okay, but what are the courts going to do? And we don't know. We never know what the courts are going to do. But anyway, it's I've been saying it, I'm going to keep saying it. The words that Donald Trump speaks do not matter. They are not legal. They are not actionable. It's bullshit. But what his administration does and what the courts do in response, that's the real tennis match of American politics right now. And that's really what will determine whether or not, as we discussed in the first half, this democracy will survive this presidency. Right.
And it seems like the administration blinked a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They found a way to save face and they blinked.
It's another taco moment.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you were out of town for the tacos.
I'm not out of town for the tacos. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Field report. Are we the laughingstock of the world?
I have been speaking to some individuals and there have been no shocked or appalled ideas, but they just give you the, what the hell's going on with your government? But then again, the Dutch government collapsed this week.
Poland elected a fascist.
Poland is having issues.
Yeah.
The funny part is both of those issues are rejecting some form of extreme right-wing individual. So
yeah. I wonder if we could change taco to Trump universally reverses decisions. And then it would be turd.
Turd. I want it to be tuck somehow. Trump universally chickens. Universally takes cowardly. I don't know. We can work on that. I just like the idea. So there's been a thing in social media this week that I adore, which is very flamboyantly gay people just lip syncing to what Trump has said at rallies. And if you haven't seen these, they are hysterical because he was born to be a sassy drag queen, Donald Trump. Yeah. The man, his energy, his delivery, his approach, his behavior, born to be a sassy drag queen. The unfortunate reality is his father was just too regressive to not allow him to be the drag queen he should have been.
Yeah.
Well, he does human drag, wears a lot of makeup.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but there's a couple of creators who are just doing remarkable face work. Well, just lip syncing to his speeches and rallies, it's hysterical.
Is his name now Donnie Drag Queen?
It is now. Yeah. President Drag Queen. Let's go. It's really, 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 it genuinely is funny. Like I've been saying for the longest time, and I think I've finally found the peg for his, the hole for his peg. Well, no, the hole for his peg is about an inch and a half deep and 14 years old.
Too old.
We should
That's
ask,
too old for him.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're sorry. I was thinking of Gates. Birds of a feather. It's been really funny to watch this actually happen. Now, we were talking about immigration for a moment.
We were talking about how the administration has blinked and brought some people back. And then they're also sort of torturing their own by making them stay in Djibouti.
Oh, Djibouti. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody linked articles to like the actual ICE agents being like, living in terrible conditions.
Living in the same. There was a shipping container that was converted to a conference room.
Yep,
and they put 6 beds in there. There's 19 people.
Wow, how many ICE agents are there?
13.
13. So half the government agents get to sleep on a bed.
Yeah, wow. And then the other people. There's 6 detainees, and they're not allowed
that's
to leave.
Still more so room than in El Salvador.
That's true, but they're also, you know, it's not particularly sanitary. They're all getting sick.
Oh yeah,
And all they have to do is fly them back. I don't know why they won't. I don't know why the ICE people are like this. This sucks, right? I'm getting out of here.
I think this is what happens when you are a militant supportist of an incompetent asshole.
Yeah,
you know, you find out the hard way that they don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
You know, ask Elon about it. Elon was shown how much Donald Trump cares about people who help him. Right. Yep. And that's the thing. there's some influencers. He's a stand-up comedian that I follow who he's like a liberal from Tennessee. Like, he does like redneck liberal stuff. I know the Revolutionary follows him as well. Trey Crowder. That's the guy, Trey Crowder. Super funny dude, but his whole thing is like, I am a good old boy from backwoods Tennessee, and it makes no sense to me that people that grew up with me would ever vote for a Republican. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because
he also, Trey Crowder knows, what's the J.D. Vance.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a whole set about the fact that, you know, they kind of grew up in the same era, region stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And had a lot of, you know, a lot of the same things. He's like, I don't understand, you know, after he wrote his book, you know, or someone wrote his book for him, that, you know, that people would, that Trump would even follow him, you know, or want him anywhere near him because he's not a good person.
Nope.
No. Yeah. But Trump doesn't care about that. He cares about people who are going to lay down and so he can walk on them.
Yeah, Trump cares about being loyal right now so that he can use them until he doesn't need them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all human furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically it. And it's everybody there. It's going to come around and bite them. Nobody is going to be without without damage from this. All of them are going to do that.
Well, the Nuremberg trials got everybody.
Yeah. No, but I mean, just the standing in Trump's orbit, you are going to get squashed at some point.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Elon's finding that now. Lots of everybody else has found out previously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Trump is just somebody who's going to take you, debase you, make you lick his feet and show servitude, and then like, yeah, I don't need you anymore.
He's actively doing it to the richest man on the planet.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah, so it's amazing. No, I'm just saying, like of all the people out there, like if you have in excess of $100 billion, mm-hmm. you answer to no one but your shareholders, right?
Yeah.
And even then, it's questionable because he's the majority shareholder, so he is the shareholder for the companies that make his wealth, and yet, somehow Donald Trump has made that man bow down and respect him. And it's wild.
Yeah.
It's but wild.
It's because, first of all, Elon's not very smart.
Well, yeah.
And he thought the way to get out of all his troubles was to
get
Donald Trump elected, and then they make him go away, which is fine. That worked. But he's now got to pay this other cost because he's been made toxic because of that.
Yep.
And Steve Bannon said that they should deport him.
Yep, and arrest him, and throw him in jail,
and
deport him, all three. I don't know. Steve Bannon was just going off on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but Elon doesn't realize is he may have all this wealth, but his wealth depends on the grace of the United States of America.
Yep. Yep.
And so because of that, he may have a lot of power, but he doesn't have enough power. And if he had just not taken shortcuts and not tried to piss off all of the agencies trying to corral him in, if he just played ball, he would be fine. He wouldn't have to have paid.
Yeah.
I mean, $250 million to he probably would have done something to keep him from getting into this trouble in the first place.
I mean, look at Bezos and Zuckerberg. They're doing just fine. They're out there. They're keeping
Tim Apple.
Tim Apple. Yeah, they're out there. They're keeping their mouths shut. They're letting the president do what he wants, and they're not saying anything about it. They just know that as long as you show up and pay lip service every quarter or so, you know, so the company pays about $4 million a year to stay relevant. Trump stays happy. You stay out of his radar.
Yeah. The problem is that price is going to go up. So it's going to get because he's realized, you know, I got $2 billion from the Saudis. How much are you going to give me? Right. That price is going to go up. $4 million is not going to get you anything anymore.
Speaking of the Saudis, I know I don't believe it's the Saudis, it's Qatar, but the jet that he's supposed to be getting gifted. Right.
Yeah.
Apparently he asked for it. They didn't. Yeah. They weren't even trying to sell it or get rid of it. It was just there, and he was like, "No, I want it." So it's going to cost $1 billion with a B to just get it flight worthy for Air Force One.
Yep. And it won't be ready anytime sooner than the
other. Not while he's president. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, it's hilarious.
Just bonkers.
Yeah, step one, disassemble the entire aircraft because it's got Russian, and Iranian, US. And everybody else's bugs
it's
in it.
It's got CIA, NS, and NSA bugs in it. We know that for a fact. Yeah. And he won't want that. Yeah. I don't know why he doesn't just fly on Lolita. The Lolita Express, right? That is a better plane.
Yeah.
Well, his own Trump Express plane, the one with the red, white, and blue, you know, big old Trump on the side of it.
Right.
That one's no longer flight worthy. That one broke down and he couldn't get it fixed.
Yeah.
Really?
During his candidacy. That's why he was flying around on the Lolita Express.
That's the whole Montana thing, right? Where he couldn't go to a city in Montana because he didn't pay his bill. So he had to fly someplace else, bills. And then it broke, and nobody would fix it because he didn't pay his bills.
Yep.
So it's not that he can't get it fixed. It's that nobody will fix it for him because he's an asshole.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how it should work. I have a question here because I haven't read this article, but it's an interesting one. It's from Al Jazeera, and the headline reads, "What is Project Esther?"
So, yeah, I put that one in there.
Okay.
And, sounds and interesting. It's kind of related to the other article that's above it with my known. This is some bullshit, and University of Michigan will find out, where the University of Michigan is using private detectives to follow students who protest for Palestinian causes.
What?
And they're listening to the conversations they're having in public. They're just – paying people to follow them around and do research and spy on them. Yeah. But Project Esther, I don't know, how well do you know your Bible? I didn't know. I had to look it up. Actually, I had to ask somebody.
Esther. I know the name.
Esther was the longer story. I'm going to give you the Tilder version. She was a Jewish person in some king's harem.
Yep.
And the advisor to the king was an anti-Semite trying to convince the king to kill all the Jews. And Esther discovered a plot to kill the king, thereby telling the king. The king said, "Hey, you're loyal to me. Oh, you're Jewish. I like Jewish people," and got rid of the anti-Semite.
Oh, okay.
So Project Esther is to get rid of all the anti-Semites, i.e. all of the people who are protesting against Israel.
Anti-Zionists is what it actually is about. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're using the term anti-Semitism to squash free speech.
Yes, because nuance and understanding of words and their meaning is dead.
Is too much of a problem. But that's Project 2025 folks writing this. How can we get rid of this Palestinian problem by making people by intimidating people, basically?
Yep. Okay.
And here is University of Michigan intimidating people. Keeping them from protesting, and I just have to believe they did. Michigan not talk to the Columbia University folks about enrollment and endowments and things like that.
They must not have, because in that same vein, you know, everyone dropped their DEI stuff after Trump got elected, except Costco. Costco, of course, got obliterated by nukes from the moon, right?
Yeah.
No, they're doing fine. Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong.
Good.
Costco, in fact, is turning record profits because they did the minimum by not bowing in advance to an asshole.
Right. And Target, on the other hand,
they've got
beige pride clothes.
They've already fired their CEO, and they're selling stuffed birds and her pal with a U-Haul van.
Yeah.
Like it's so. It's so stupid and limp-wristed and dumb.
Yep.
Well, did you see the New York City mayor's race? Or is it the governor's race? I think it's the mayor's race.
It's the mayor's race with Cuomo.
And there's a clip that's floating around that they asked the simple question, where's the first foreign country you'll visit as the mayor? And they go through, there's probably 12 people on this dais for the mayor in this debate. Which, right. Again, why are you having a debate with 12 people? This is the Democratic side.
Right, yeah.
Why are you having a debate with 12 people? That's the first thing. Cut it down to three.
Four.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Everybody doesn't need a participation ribbon, bud. Yeah. And, you know, or have a voice in this. You know, right. Just put the top three candidates up there, have them have a human discussion and go on. But the yep. question they ask is, what country will you visit? And they're going down the line and it's like, oh, I'm going to visit Israel. I'm going to visit Israel. Oh, I'm going to visit Israel. Oh, I believe in backing Israel. Oh, I'm going to check in with my Jewish constituents and visit Israel. And then this one guy who does not look like the others. and then the other guy who does not look like the others.
Yep.
He says, I'm going to visit the five boroughs and service our community here.
That's the answer.
And you can tell that the debate is one-sided because the commentators
yes.
go, will you visit Israel?
What?
Yeah. And no. it's like, guys, your no. job as press is not to do that.
I'm
your
not the job governor. As I'm just... the mayor of a city.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And then they go to this other gentleman who did not look like the rest. And he goes, well, my family, my grandfather is from Jamaica and I'm going to visit the homeland.
Cool.
Of Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he puts on a patois of you know, Jamaican accent.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. And everyone laughs. But that just diminishes what they just plowed that other dude for doing, for yep. saying, look, I'm not going to kowtow to this Zionist group.
Yeah.
And say that I'm going to go to Israel, which was the easy answer. Just, oh, I'm going to go to Israel. Just say that.
It's a dumb.
You know, I would have said, I'm going to go to the Ukraine and talk to Zelensky. You know what I mean? Come yeah. on.
No, I would have given the answer the other guy did, which is I'm going to visit my constituents in my city yeah. that I'm the mayor of. I'm not the governor of a state or a federally elected representative.
Yeah. Why would I waste city dollars to travel?
The mayor of New York country? Is not part of foreign policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
And that's the problem, comrade. I mean, we have this weird, I don't even know what to call it, this weird Zionist. Well, I know what it is. We've talked about it on the show before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We've got this group who is funding campaigns.
AIPAC, yep.
And if you don't, they will fund your opponent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have a slightly humorous story in my life. So as a wee lad growing up, I was pretty good with geography. I knew where Jamaica was. And when I was 9, I lived in New York City and taking the subway and you'd see advertisements, visit Jamaica.
Yeah. Visit Aruba.
Take the train.
Jamaica.
And I'm like, what?
Take a train to Jamaica.
Well, Jamaica is
it's in Queens.
It's a place in New York City.
Yeah.
Called Jamaica.
Cool.
And that's what they were talking about. That's an advertisement funny. To get people to go tourist and see locally. But I was, as a young lad, very confused about
how you get a train to Jamaica. It's a hell of a train. Is it under the water or over the water?
What?
Like the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, I think we're all of a mind on this. This obsession with supporting Israel is asinine at best. Mm-hmm. I understand the history. I understand the significance. I understand the cultural impact. But this is an open book test where we all get to look at what happened and how it happened. Because it happened within the last 80 years. Oh, this was bad and wrong. Yes, yep. They exist now as people, and yes, the people of Israel aren't guilty of the sins of the British for establishing the state, but that doesn't mean they have the right to commit genocide.
No.
Right? And in the end, all the United States, like I'm going to say this, and it's probably worthy of some pushback and some hate, and that's fine, but I'm going to say all the United States needed to do under Biden during the Gaza crisis was go, the United States will no longer provide any military aid to Israel at all. They are cut off. They're committing war crimes. We will not help them. And the moment they stop, the moment they fix what they did in Gaza, we will support them again. And we will help them defend themselves against their real enemies. And that's fine. But to pretend like the United States has a responsibility to help a political state that is committing active genocide is fucked, for lack of a better word. There's no other way to put it. It's horrible and stupid.
And but when you have an organization in the United States that is, you know, that is Israel, you know, uber alles, you know, don't say anything about Israel, period. Otherwise, we will fund your opponent.
Going with German, you know, for that is hilarious.
Is that overall? No. That's Latin.
Is that Latin?
Okay. No, it's German. It's German.
Uber alles?
That's right.
Yeah. That's German.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uber. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Anyway, right, it's late.
Yeah. Yeah, it's early.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it's bothersome to me that, you know, that because it is a pure political situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about anything else except for maintaining the power structure that's there.
Yep.
And even the people of the country Israel do not want the power structure the way it is.
No.
And the ongoing harms by not standing up to that power structure are just going to escalate.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They started bombing Lebanon again just because guess there wasn't enough bombing to go in Gaza. And
it's because Lebanon was helping distribute the aid.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're just going to escalate that tension, and it's going to end badly.
It's already
for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. There is no good end to this, much in the same way our occupation of Afghanistan had no good end. But in this case, Israel is actively killing journalists and children.
No, what I was getting at is there's no good end for this for Israel either.
Right. No. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They've put themselves in an impossible position. The only way Israel gets out of this with peace of mind. And take that how you will. I'm not going to... The only way the Israeli government gets out of this with peace of mind is if they bulldoze every square foot of Gaza.
That's Donald Trump's plan.
No, I'm aware. Yeah. But what I'm saying is the Israeli government, that's their only way out. Their only way out is to make sure there is no one who can retaliate on any level whatsoever.
Yeah,
That is beyond criminal. That is pure evil.
Yeah, but even that, you know, once the war is over, Netanyahu's out, so he's going to keep doing war.
Right, right.
And so, you know, that's eventually going to escalate into a situation where there's a war that more than one terrorist organization is involved in.
We actively have the makings for two world wars between Israel and Ukraine.
And while there's generally a lot of support for Israel, they are being the spoiled bad kid who's throwing rocks through people's windows. You're going to get call the cops on him.
Israel is the only child of Western colonization efforts, of 20th century Western colonization efforts. They're the only child. Therefore, they are spoiled. Right? They've never had real consequences to their fuck ups. They do terrible things. And they have the UK and the US to give them all the guns and money they could ever need. And they go in and they mop up everyone around them who doesn't have that infrastructure.
Yep.
That's all they've ever done.
But they're destroying the goodwill in the rest of the world.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And should it happen and the US be like, nah, they'll turn to Russia, right? They'll turn to China. They'll go to anybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Because
the only problem with Russia and China is they're not going to take it.
No.
There's no reason for them to back them in that region any longer.
Russia and China probably have vested interests in Israel's enemies because of oil supplies.
Right.
Right. Like I would not be surprised if China has invested in oil fields in Iran because the U.S. won't.
Yeah.
But we tried and then Trump came in and undid it twice. You know, we did everything we could to be diplomatic about how we approached the situation in Iran politically. And Donald Trump was like, no, I want to be racist and stupid. So he undid everything in Iran and Iraq and made everything terrible, committed us to a pullout in Afghanistan that destroyed their government, as terrible as it may have been. So, like, here we are in the middle of the stew that Donald Trump has created over the last decade. Yes.
Speaking of racist and stupid, one of the South African refugees that was brought over killed his American wife.
Before he came over here or here? Here?
Here.
After they came here?
Yes.
send them home.
Where's the outrage?
Send him to South Sudan.
Of this immigrant coming in here and killing an American citizen.
Right.
Yeah. Where is it?
Right. Wait, hang on. Does he pass the paper bag test?
Well, yeah, he's a white Afrikaner.
That's all we need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you know, I mean, it's ridiculous to see that he only, how many was it? 60? Less than 100?
It was like 50.
Yeah, it's less than let's say it's less than 50. Out of that less than 50, 2% are murderers.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah,
hang on.
What's that?
Here we go. I'm double checking the story because I hadn't heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, that's okay. That we all know there's just too much.
Yeah, no, I mean, but yeah, to your point, you know, we talked about it last week. We've been talking about the active kidnapping of people here in the U.S., only to turn around and have Elon Musk bring 60 of his closest friends and their wives back over here from South Africa due to bogus complaints about a white genocide. Which
yep.
isn't real. So it's nope. it's just nuts.
No. It's racism in South Africa. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing Trump did this week related to immigration is he instigated a travel ban.
I was just reading that article.
And on 12 countries, there are 12 countries that basically have nothing in common. You can read.
Are they not even Muslim states?
No, they're small countries. The only thing they have in common is that they're poor, brown, and at least some of them are Muslim.
Okay, here's the list for you. Afghanistan, Myanmar, Chad, the Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Eritrea. I've never heard of it.
Oh, man. I had to look that one up.
Eritrea. Okay. Yeah. Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen all have total bans. And then there's Burundi, Cuba, Laos, Sierra Leone, Togo, Turkmenistan, and Venezuela with restrictions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're all brown and poor.
Yeah. And for the most part, they are also poor because of imperialism, because either the United States or Europe was down there robbing the country blind for hundreds of years.
That never happened.
And then left in a vacuum. Yeah, exactly. But so he's put a travel ban on countries that are basically there aren't very many people rich enough to travel to the U.S.
Right.
So it's just kind of this really weird,
strange situation. Yeah.
Strange situation.
Do they have precious minerals?
No.
Venezuela has oil, but we don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Short of an invasion.
There's some question about the Olympics. The travel ban is total and absolute, but sports teams can get waivers. So the Olympics will be
for 2026.
2028. World Cup's in 2026, but there aren't too many of those teams around being
Olympics in 2026.
Yeah.
Well, Iran is a participating team. In the World Cup.
Yeah. So they're going to have to get special permission.
Well, you know, FIFA's not corrupt at all, so that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's in LA. That's why. Okay. 2028. Yep. Huh.
So, yeah, it's an interesting, we're going to ban all these countries that really don't come here. And, we'll just cause problems for people. Well,
the good news is, the Olympics are in July, which means the next president will have about 4 months to straighten all this shit out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 2028.
Yeah.
The election is 2028.
Oh, I'm getting it wrong. 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Sorry. No, I counted for 24. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Never mind. Hey, good news. We'll have an opportunity to embarrass ourselves globally again.
Again.
In about 3.5 years.
Never miss one of those.
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah. It'll be great.
That's
It'll
okay. Great. Olympics in Los Angeles are always embarrassing.
Mm. Yeah. Was that the Tonya Harding Olympics?
No. That's a Winter Olympics.
Winter Olympics, yeah.
No, it was 84. I don't think anything bad happened, but it was, you know, when LA gets so crowded that you can't move, you know, it's there's a lot of people.
It was the opening and closing ceremonies.
I'm just Googling,
I think Billy Joel played the closing ceremonies.
Yeah.
I'm just Googling LA Riot Olympics. We're going to see what happened. Oh, yeah, there we go. Look at that.
Yeah.
No, that was 92. They didn't have the Olympics then.
Yeah. No. It's fine. It's 84.
84. Anyway.
And then the Watts riots were like 10 years before that. So.
Yeah. LA, baby.
The other thing I had on here that is kind of interesting is that I don't know if any of you ever take like cold medicine, you know, like Advil PM or whatever, the Advil cold.
I try not to.
The decongestant in those medicines has been shown not to be effective. It's
not Sudafed anymore, right? Because that would be too many people reasons to make meth.
So pseudoephedrine, the original Sudafed, is now behind the counter because you've got to register you make meth. So it's
rolls off the tongue.
Phenylephrine. Hoffenpfefferin. Is actually an effective decongestant.
Okay.
But it's destroyed by stomach acid. So when you take it in a pill, it destroys it. So,
got it.
So it's useless. Yeah. So
you got to inhale it.
I have always thought that shit just never worked for me. I just thought it was me, but no, now it just doesn't work for anybody.
So I read an article the other day that said that, regular users of like allergy medications like Zyrtec and a couple of others, if you use it regularly long enough and you stop taking it, you'll have like a subdermal rash, basically. Like you'll have itching, like full body itching if you stop taking it. Now here's the thing about allergy medication. I ain't never stopping it.
Yeah.
It's how I survive every day. So I just gotta keep taking it to make that go away. I'm gonna keep taking it. It's just
and the stuff in nasal sprays is addictive.
Oh, is it
addictive?
Yeah. So if you use nasal sprays a lot, like I think that they say more than 3 days, but if you've got a cold and you use a nasal spray, your nose can become addicted to it.
Mm.
And then when you stop, you get just the worst runny nose ever.
Yeah, right.
And so you keep taking it because that controls it. Yeah. But really, you're just scratching your nose's itch. You've got a monkey up your nose, and you've got to detox off of nasal spray.
You got to detox off your nose, monkey.
Yeah.
I mean it's why I try to avoid medications as much as possible, because there's not a single medication we have that doesn't have like 19 side effects that require other medications to mitigate.
Yeah, and the other warning is on titanium dioxide, which sounds like
toothpaste.
Bad. It's the whitener. It's white toothpaste. No, it's white toothpaste is white.
Oh,
it's
that makes sense. Agent. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a coloring agent, and it's thought to be inert because.
It's titanium. We
didn't really look at it, I guess, but apparently it they think it's got more harm in some longer term.
Well, 4 out of 5 dentists, you know, can't be wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it you're not supposed to eat it, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, don't swallow it. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Here's an article.
Swallow and you'll be fine.
Here's an article from the Center for the Science in the Public Interest from last year about why titanium dioxide should be banned.
Yeah. Yeah, don't eat it.
Chewing gum, baked goods, chocolate.
You're not supposed to be swallowing that.
Hard shell candies, really? Frosting, desserts, sauces, coffee creamers.
Yeah, it's anything that's got a solid white color has probably got titanium dioxide in it.
Yeah. 13,000 brand name food products. There we go.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But it's white, comrade. So RFK is not going to ban it.
It must be good if it's white.
Yeah.
There's no.
Now, if it was slightly a darker brown, we wouldn't be eating it at all.
That's why I like sugar in the raw. the right color.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody likes Stay in the Raw, comrade.
Hey-o.
Yeah, so, I was trying to make Djibouti jokes. Like, there's a bunch of sick men in your Djibouti.
Djibouti, yeah.
But
in Djibouti,
I couldn't quite pull it off.
All I know is they're stuffing 13 people in a place way too small in Djibouti.
Yeah, exactly.
No, sorry. 30-something people.
In a tiny area in Djibouti. Yeah,
there's 13 ICE agents and 19 other people.
No, six. There's a total of 19. 13 ICE agents and six dudes.
We got six dudes
in Djibouti.
We got 19 dudes in Djibouti.
Yeah.
I didn't find the joke eventually.
Locked in Djibouti.
Oh, yeah. My God. Revolutionary, while you're here, is there anything you'd like to opine upon or share since you're out of the country?
Allegedly, my computer says I'm at my house. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I recognize that brick wall in your garage.
Yeah. Oh no, this could be a background.
Oh yeah, it's a virtual background, just like the Canadians. That's right. That's right. I was just curious if you had any reports from the field while you're there.
No, you know, it's lovely to get, you know, secondary perspectives from, you know, people who do not necessarily share our cultural opinions.
Right. Right. Yep.
You know, the opinion, and also it gives you perspective, mm-hmm, into, you know, the American mindset. American mindset is toxic and damaged, mm-hmm, now at this, mm-hmm, point. And it's gotten there over time. And, you know, you can feel it. It's very different in the reporting that's going on outside the U.S. than the reporting that's going on inside the U.S.
Oh, I can only imagine.
You know, inside the U.S., it's controlled by billionaire corporations who refuse to say anything against the God King.
Yep.
For fear of retribution.
Yep.
You know, and outside the U.S., I mean, I've always tried to get my reporting from places like BBC and France 24 and Al Jazeera and others, because they not only give a more balanced thing, a more balanced reporting, but the U.S. isn't that important.
Not anymore.
I mean, every time I go on anywhere and listen to the news from outside the U.S., you know, you realize that there's a whole lot more world has news than the one little country that's there. I mean, yes, there's reporting on the Ukraine, and yes, there's a lot of, a lot of issues. You know, there's heavy reporting on, you know, what's happening on the borders of Poland. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot of that. But the reporting on the U.S. is still just that. Oh, well, this policy was put forward, but it's not. Here's a policy that was rescinded. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know. So we've.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been doing this since his first term.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and you can feel, you know, the first term it was a joke, and this one it's still a joke.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they don't see it as power. You know, in the U.S., you're seeing the restrictions that are being put on women. You're seeing the restrictions that are being put on people who are trying to immigrate, you know, and you're seeing the rise of some of these, you know, white power organizations being supported. You know, when you look at these ICE agents with, runes on their elbows tattooed and known symbols,
paintball guns.
Yeah. And it's really sad. You know, you don't wear, you don't wear night vision gear during the day to do a raid on a restaurant.
Nope.
You know, with a sidearm, a semi-automatic rifle and a sawed-off shotgun hanging off your belt.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what? Why are you coming loaded for bear like that? You know, you're obviously not law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, and the more you see, like, the pushing and shoving that happened in San Diego. Mm-hmm. We're at a tipping point with people, and
we're getting closer and closer, man.
You know, and when you're having people say things like, "Hey, you know, all that has to happen is a car backfire nearby, and it's going to be a bad story that day."
We talked about it a while ago. There was a cop here in Florida who started shooting at people because an acorn fell in his car.
Yep.
right? Yeah. Like.
Well, he had a guy. Yeah, he arrested. He was detaining a guy, and that guy got shot.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. The guy was was handcuffed in the backseat of his car, and an acorn fell on the car, and he turned and shot into his car.
Yep.
And then his partner or another officer started shooting into the car also.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it just shows again that, you know, that all of this stuff that's going on, and they're calling it what it is. It's a paramilitary.
It is.
You know, a paramilitary group.
Yep.
That is labeled as ICE.
It's mm-hmm. yeah, it's
see, which is not what's being reported in the U.S. What's being reported, this is an ICE raid. No, this is a bunch of paramilitary people who went on Amazon and got, you know, tags.
All of these
and
guys
put them on their carriers they got at, you know, the farmer's market.
Yep. I mean, all of these guys are just every high schooler's favorite porn search, barely legal.
Yeah. And again, what happens when these morons, you know, open fire on a crowd of people?
They have been intimidated out of towns. Like, they have been forced to back down streets by crowds who are there nonviolently. So, like, they're clearly not brave heroes. They're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
And they
hide their faces.
Right.
If they were proud of what they were doing. The head of ICE said, well, our people are covering their faces because there were pictures taken by protesters, mm-hmm. and they doxed these individuals. And we fear for their and their families' lives. It's like, well, you wouldn't have to fear for their families' lives if they were doing something legitimate, you moron.
He stated that attacks on ICE agents was up 400% year over year.
What was it, one?
I don't know, but all I know is 400% is rookie numbers. We need to pump them numbers up, bastards. Let's go. We can make 1,000% by next week.
Fill a coffee can up with a coffee can and put it on the hood of a vehicle and light it on fire. It will immobilize that vehicle.
Yes, it will.
It's weird.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. The I was just thinking we should do some advertising, figure out where ICE is going to be, and then sell tickets to the ICE Capades.
That would be
incredible. Well, there are many social media accounts now that are tracking where ICE is, and they're posting up, hey, there's some activity going on.
Yep.
If you'd like to come by and observe what's going on.
Here's the intersection where it's happening. You should probably be there soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I think a lot of the right-wing strategists who are doing their best to make America as fascist as possible massively underestimate the power of the internet. Mm-hmm. Like coast to coast, LA to New York, to Georgia, to Florida, to Washington, we are all on the same page, literally and figuratively, on a day-to-day basis, on an hourly basis. We are all communicating with each other actively. You can't hide anything that you're doing in public from the people of this country right now. You can't do it. Unless the federal government somehow finds a way to openly control the actual internet, which can't.
Well, but they already control the actual media.
They control the media,
controlling
but not
the actual internet isn't that hard.
I disagree. I think what they can do with influence is they can make, like, Meta and Google and Apple less willing to give their users the ability to post whatever. But that just what that does is it puts the active user bases that the that the government needs to worry about into much harder places to follow. Right? You run into IRCs, you run into private chats, you go into Slack, you go not Slack, you go into
Signal
or whatever else, right? You go into places where the government can't track them. And first off, I guarantee a lot of those groups are already in those untrackable places, so it's too late. But the point is, the government, in terms of the pushing back against protest efforts, in their best interests to allow the public conversation around protests to occur, because then they can anticipate what's happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, don't publicly post on Threads about where your next protest is going to be, maybe. It might not be a great idea, but organized groups that have burner phones, that have burner accounts, that can communicate to other people where things are going to be. And when you start making it underground, when you start taking things away from the open social media environment, it gets a lot harder for the government to push back.
Yeah. And you can tell ICE isn't a real police agency real, because the people who are there don't know how to set up a perimeter.
Nope.
They at all.
They don't know anything about security. They know nothing.
You don't park your vehicles, a mile away or more,
right,
so that you have to walk with a crowd in order to get back to your vehicles with your detainees. You set up a perimeter, you arrest the people that are there, and you bring in the paddy wagon.
Yep.
And you put them on the paddy wagon and you drive away.
Stop giving them ideas.
But that's how police work is supposed to work.
I'm right? aware.
If you're doing a raid on a business, you pull up to the FBI pulls up at the front door.
Yeah.
They serve a warrant, mm-hmm, and they go in and they arrest the people, or they shut down the organization. Mm-hmm. They collect all, and then they put agents at the doors and no one gets in or out.
Yep.
And they set up a perimeter. These people are not. Yeah. They're a paramilitary group of, fanboys.
Racist.
Of fanboys who are arresting the men.
Yep.
And we don't know what's happening to women and children.
I saw, to take this with as many grains of salt as you will, because I am, an anecdotal report that the women being captured by ICE, whoever they are, they're being forced to abort their pregnancies. They're being given whatever that one...
Mefepristone or whatever.
Yeah, mefepristone. Yeah, mefepristone. They're giving mefepristone or Plan B pills. They're being forced to abort their pregnancies. Forced. So if you're the pro-life party, if you're the right-wing Republican pro-life voter, your party is actively killing babies.
Actively. But they don't buy paper bag tests.
Well, here's a question for the Christians. Was Jesus white?
Oh, I just saw this most beautiful picture that a friend of mine posted, which had the white Jesus and what Jesus actually looked like.
Oh, yes.
From a description in the Bible.
Excellent.
His hair was white. His eyes were reddened. His beard was, and it's like, and his skin was ebony.
Wow.
It's like in a section of the Bible. And someone's like, ooh, I sure hope the white Christian nationalists don't see this. And it's posted,
Nothing is funnier to me than the person who put Ewan McGregor's face in replacement of Ewan McGregor from Star Wars in replacement of Jesus.
And Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Because he looks like the white Jesus model, Ewan McGregor, in Star Wars. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I just finished watching Andor.
I am on
followed
season
by
one
Rogue still. One. So I will tell you right now.
Yes.
Here's an entertainment report because it's much more fun news than others. If you watch the second season and then immediately turn on Rogue One, it's the next episode.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
It ends kind of abruptly, and the next episode is Rogue One. It's pretty seamless.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, now I have to watch the show, because the first three episodes are quite slow.
The first five episodes
of season two are incredibly slow.
Oh yeah, Jesus! I'm still in season one, and the first three episodes have been a drag.
I turned it off.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the fifth episode, I think I was just like, I don't get what this. I get it's building to a climax, but you didn't need to take this much time. You didn't need to.
They didn't have enough content.
Yeah.
They didn't have enough content, so they made up a whole backstory on a bunch of people you don't care about.
Right.
Yep. Disney and Star Wars.
Yeah.
In a sentence.
Yeah.
Do we have any well done?
Well done. Well, we have Kilmar Obrego Garcia coming back. That's a well done. Regardless of what happens in the courts here domestically, that's a well done.
And the other dude that was is back from Guatemala. I only know his initials. OPR or something.
Well done to Ukraine's anti-aircraft fleet.
Oh yeah.
Who through
best value for your dollar right there.
Seriously, the most financially efficient military operation in the history of the globe. They took out
I was going to say, I learned, you should finish telling what he did, the backstory, and then I'll
get some detail. So the long and short of it is a bunch of contract truckers were loaded with what looked like prefab houses in Ukraine and were then sent to various locations across Russia that happened to be within a certain radius of airfields.
They were also Russians.
Yeah, they were Russian trucks. Yes.
And it was Russian drivers contracted to go drive and park this stuff construction site.
Drivers, man. They're just doing what they're paid to do. So they're all driving and they all get a phone call at a specific location and they're told, hey, your delivery is good there. Just park there. Don't worry about it. You're fine where you are. Someone will come to get you. And then within about 15 minutes of that phone call, the containers that were on the backs of these truck beds literally exploded. And then drones came out of them and destroyed 35% of the Russian strategic bombing fleet. It is a remarkable success. It is incredible. And by the way, all of this was being planned when Zelensky sat down with Trump and Trump said, you have no cards to play. Yeah,
it was maybe a year in the making.
A year and a half is what I've been seeing.
And some of the trucks were parked and left.
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
They were totally leaving. Contract drivers are like, whatever, man, not my truck, I'm out. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Easy enough. And they were all within striking distance of air bases. And they took out, I think it was 15 or 20 different aircraft, and all of them were strategic bombers. And I've seen some posts on social media analyzing the footage from those drones that have been released. And based on the footage, people who know more than I, who claim to know more than I do, are saying that those bombers were armed and ready for active attacks. They had armament on the wings. So they may or may not go soon. This was, they are definitely going within the next 48 hours, according to.
And they were covered. These big heavy bombers were covered with tires to break up their silhouette against AI.
Yep. Yep.
So they were aware that they were using AI powered drones, and they're like, oh, well, we're going to put tires all over them, and so they won't look like planes. And these guys are like, well, you do realize that we're using like POV drones from like Amazon or Alibaba.
Aren't fooled by tires. We just bought a pallet of DJIs with grenades. Off we go.
Yep.
It's amazing stuff.
And the question everybody has is, okay, well, this took a year to get going. Where's the next one at?
Mm-hmm.
What's the next? You know, is it ships? Is it bridges?
And the most important part of this is one of the air bases they hit was literally the opposite side of Russia from Ukraine.
Right.
The entire length of Russia was covered when they hit this thing. And that's a message from Ukraine to Putin to say there is nowhere in Russia that's safe. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, totally remarkable, and just purely military. They only hit military targets. As far as I'm aware, there were no human casualties. This was just a thing that took out military assets. And what was Russia's response? They bombed apartments and schools.
Yep.
Right.
And by the way, Canadian, they did also this past week take out bridges and naval ships.
Yeah, the Crimean the Crimean bridge had a big explosion happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, nobody was on it at the time.
Correct. Well, so they went out of their way to do it at like 4 a.m. on a Tuesday. Yeah. So that nobody would get hurt. So for anyone like Cat Turd on Twitter who wants to say, well, Ukraine doesn't want peace because it counterattacked it. No. They went out of their way to make sure that no civilians were in any way harmed by any of their actions. Like they have the entire invasion, the entire attack from Russia. All Ukraine has done is defend themselves strategically. Russia, on the other hand, is committing total war on a level that is war crimes.
Yeah. So I have a well done for you.
Yeah, what you got?
Well done to The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
And Jon Stewart, which is a rare thing to say.
Very rare these days and age. Yep.
he shamed Carolyn Leavitt into removing her giant cross.
Her giant cross.
Yeah. It gets bigger every time she lies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's been shamed. And my thing is if you're a Christian, how can you follow the devil is my question.
But that's a great question.
Well, I mean, it makes sense that she'd have a Pinocchio necklace because that's Donnie's dick gets a little bigger every time he lies.
I read an interesting book series recently that was a bit high fantasy for most people, but the premise was there's a bunch of basically immortal representatives of God who were fighting God's wars and doing what he dictated that would be best for the world because that's what God said, only to find out it wasn't God, it was the devil. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was actively causing these immortals to destroy the world systemically.
Yep.
Yeah.
And only one.
Well, that's why there's a group of Christians that think that Donald Trump is the Antichrist and they welcome him.
Yeah. Because they're going
to bring about the end days, right? The end times. Yes,
So that those good Christians.
I just want to point out also about parallel. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that good Christians think they're going to get raptured, but they want to bring about the death
and destruction of everybody.
So they're not. And I was also going to say, I think going back to the Pinocchio penis, that you might just call it Little White Lies.
Oh, no.
And also,
yep.
Deus, remember this very clearly. Carolyn Leavitt is 27 years old.
Yeah.
27, huh?
So that means that if you take back 10 years.
Yeah.
The press secretary. Go back 10 years to when Trump started running in 20. I'm sorry, in what, 16, 15, 15.
15. Yeah, so 10
15.
Years.
So that's 10 years. She was 17 years old. And by the way, she's married to a man who is in his 50s.
60. He's 60.
60. Yeah.
He's 60. 60 years old. Yeah.
But, who's a political operator.
I just Googled her as you were speaking. Wild.
Yeah.
Carolyn Leavitt, 27, married a 6-year-old real estate developer in 2023 and promptly had a child. I'm sure his money had nothing to do with it.
But that's the part. Again, this is that whole weird Christian, white Christian nationalist vibe, weird stuff. She has not known a world that is not, you know, she went to an all-women's college, all Christian school.
Oh, yeah.
She is the indoctrinated. She is what the right fears that the left is trying to do.
She's not Carolyn Leavitt. She's Carolyn of Taco. by the way, that any woman in the administration is now of Taco. So I think that'll do it.
All right. So the One Man Revolution podcast is here weekly, whether I am or not, apparently. which is a good thing because the revolution needs to roll on and on.
That's right.
Pick it up on it. Pick it up with your podcatcher wherever you get fine podcasts. If you want the version that has no ads and no additional material thrown into it, get it directly from onemanrevolution.org with full show notes.
There you go.
So until next time, I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
I'm the Canadian.
And we are the not only the voice of the resistance, but comrade.
Yes.
You said this last week. What else are we?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I listened to the show. So
I don't know what I said last week. What did I say last week?
I don't remember. It was very poignant.
It was very poignant. All right. Well, we're the voice of the resistance.
Anyway. You have to listen to last week's show to figure out what comrade said.
That's right. Yep. I can't be counted on to remember what I did yesterday, much less last week.